Guys, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll be finishing it up, but I'm going to go ahead and read through the whole chapter to just kind of so we can tie everything up where we've been. Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idlers as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, rose up to play, nor let commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as an example, as are written to admonish us upon the ends of the ages that have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation is overtaking you except what's common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to you as wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though are many, are one bread, one body, for all the partaker of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partaker of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? What is offered to idols is anything? Rather, the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one his, but the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner when you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that we may be saved. Hey, good news. We're about to finish up what we've been looking at for three chapters about laying your life down. And you're totally tired of hearing about, I got to lay my life down. Okay, you're tired of it. We've been here forever. Enough already. Here's something to think about. And I'm not going to yell again. This room is so small. Here's something to think about as we go forward in the days ahead, in the years ahead. Being a Christian now would be the best time to dig in. Now, it's always a good time to dig in. Okay, let's get that out there. But this particular time on the Lord's timetable in which He has placed us within the body of Christ, I want us to understand it's an incredible privilege for us to proclaim the truth and dig in and dig deep in the things of the Lord. That we would move away from things that may be carnal, that we would move away from fleshly tendencies and dive deeper into the Lord's heart and dig deep. And lay down our life, pick up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus. And run hard after Him. there is not going to be, at the end of this thing, the only thing that's going to matter is what we have done for the Lord. That's it. To stand before Him one day. So this is the last time we're going to hear about laying down our life for now. Okay, we're going to move past this chapter. But I pray that the work that the Lord has cultivated in our hearts is taking root in our hearts for the days to come. That's why I think we spent about 2 months in this thing. My number one desire for my kids is that not only would they get saved, but they would become disciples of Christ. That's my prayer for them on a regular basis. We've been looking at 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, where Paul uses the question of, okay, can we eat this meat? Okay, can we eat this meat that's sacrificed to idols? And I'm going to go through this one more time, so just bear with me. Here was the question. There was a group within the church at Corinth that had no issue with the meat that was sold down there because it was a good cut of meat. Remember that the idler would go down to the temple. Corinth was a very idolistic place with tons of pagan temples. But within those pagan temples, they would have these places called shambles where you could go get this great cut of meat at a very good price. Because what you would have, the idler would go down there, give a portion, he would give his meat to the priest. The priest would give a portion to the idol. The priest would take a portion for himself. And normally what the priest would do with that portion he took for himself would sell it at this place called a shamble. And they would in turn would sell it to the public at a great price. Well, there were some folks within the body of Christ at Corinth who had no issue with it. They didn't bother their conscience. They just wanted this great cut of meat. But see, there was these other folks that did have issue with it. So it brings to light this whole thing. And they asked Paul, well, what about this meat? If you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says, guys, there's something more important than just knowledge. There's love. Love without knowledge is you get a zero. And if you remember, he finishes that chapter with this statement. He said, you know what? I would refuse to eat meat if it were to make my brother stumble. His heart on the issue was this, okay? Fasten our hearts on this, guys. Let's stop focusing on our rights and focus on what is right. That was his heart on it. And then if you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he used himself as an example of what it means to lay down one's life. And what he did was basically just sum it up in his rights as a minister of whether or not he could receive compensation for what he was called to do. And he makes this incredible list and he's building this case, and you can go back and listen to it or you can study it for yourself. But at the sum of this thing, it wasn't about building this case for why it was okay for him to receive that. It was all about this. It's like, I want you to understand, you guys, remember when I was at Corinth, I worked with my hands, but yet I still taught. I didn't demand anything. I laid down my life. And he said, you know what? He said, nevertheless, I did not want to hinder the gospel. And that was Paul's heart at Corinth. Okay? And so he uses himself as an example of what it looks like to lay down our rights to serve Christ if the Lord so leads us in those type of circumstances. Has anybody in here ever had a jerky boss? Who's worked for family businesses? What's the deal with a family business? Things are subject to change day to day. Are they not? I worked for three in my illustrious career in machine shop. And there's one thing that I learned to humble myself. It's subject to change. I worked for some very good folks, but things were not always set in stone. You had to be flexible. I think as Christians, we need to remember that Chuck Smith says, the flexible shall not be broken. I think that's pretty good advice. Now finally, we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Not only did Paul use himself as an example, he used Israel's bad example as what happens to a group of people who chooses to use their liberty needlessly. Okay, remember, Paul just finished encouraging these guys to finish what God had set before them and how dangerous it is of letting something get in the way of finishing. Now, Paul will use Israel as an example in their exodus from Egypt to make this point. And then we just read through this, and I'm going to be very quick. Think of all the blessings that Israel had coming out of Egypt. They had the cloud. They had the fire. They had the cloud by day and the fire by night. you're walking around in the wilderness. It's hot in the wilderness. The Lord shaded them. He protected them. The cloud was a representation, the Shekinah glory of His presence and His protection. What an incredible blessing. Not only that, the Lord decimated the army of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. They went right across. Think of all the blessings, not to mention the manna that fell down from heaven, not to mention the water from the rock. They had everything that you could possibly want going for them. But what happened to that first generation? They get to Kadesh Barnea and they don't enter in. And that first generation missed out. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years and died off. And remember, I shared this before. And when we look at the picture, when we see Israel in Egypt, we see what it was like when we were in our unsafe state. It was slavery. When we see Israel in the wilderness, we see what it's like to really just be a carnal Christian, just wandering around, never really fully entering into all the Lord has for us. When we see Israel in the Promised Land, we see the way the Christian life is supposed to be. It's not a picture of heaven. It's the way the Christian life is supposed to be now. It's a place of conflict. It's a place of warfare. But we're constantly going forward with the Lord, taking steps by faith, and taking this land. Okay? Now understand this. They missed out. Paul said they had everything when he brought them out of Egypt, but they missed out. Not only that, he said, look at their heart in all this. Look at what they did with this incredible opportunity. Now these things became examples to the These things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after the things they lusted after. What did they do? They rose up and played. What did they do? They complained. What did they do? They griped. And you know what? They just were in unbelief and they missed out. That was their heart. And then finally, last week we looked at the therefore, which is to stand strong against temptation. And Paul says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands takes heed lest he fall. Would we not agree that that group, that generation that came out of Egypt really did fall? They had everything going for them, but they fell. For the Corinthian Christian to avoid the temptation of being selfish and self-centered, and this is for us too, our friends, we must understand we're vulnerable to things. We are easily deceived. And remember last week I asked a question, if you could be an animal, what animal would you be? What would you be? Some of you said you'd be a tiger. Some of you said you'd be a lion. The smartest person in the room, I said, would be a dog. They got a gravy train. Or a cat's even better than a dog, if you think about it. You serve them. But what does the Lord say that we are? We're sheep. Sheep are not very fierce. Sheep are not very fast. Sheep are not very smart. Sheep need a shepherd. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he may fall. We need to stay close to our shepherd. We need to stay right by his side. And you know what? We need to understand we're susceptible to things. I think sometimes we get to a place in our walk with the Lord. We don't really maybe think that, we don't really verbalize it, but somewhere in our heart this thought has kind of come up. It's like, you know what? I think I might have arrived a little bit. I've sat through enough Bible studies. I've sat through enough worship services. I've been to enough retreats. I've been to enough conferences. I think I've kind of arrived on this thing. I've read through the Bible several times. I think I may have arrived on this thing. That's a dangerous place to be. Because if the people of Israel who had everything going for them can refuse to enter in, what does that say about us? Paul said, these are examples for us. So let's be careful. And then finally he says, I want you to flee from idolatry. Don't go into idolatry. Remember, the meat was not the problem. The meat's not the issue. But if you were to go down to the shambles, okay, and buy the meat, they had these restaurants. And going in there and sitting down and eating in these restaurants, that was a problem because there was demonic activity there, is what Paul says. And then he uses this incredible illustration here to just do it. And I'm going to read through. He says, therefore, my beloved, and I want to point this out one more time. If you are in Christ today, you are beloved. You are beloved. Guys, we have been invited into this incredible relationship with our Lord. We have not been invited to just cold, boring religion. We are to be ecstatic. I've been, somehow or another, I got sucked into The Biggest Loser. Okay, don't ask me how. I've never watched it in my life. Okay, it's been on since, 2001? Never watched it in my life. Somehow I got kind of sucked into this thing. And I'm blown away. I'm blown away by these folks. It makes me look at folks that have those issues radically different and really think about their struggles and what that's like and how you get to that place. There was this one girl, and this is a couple of seasons ago, okay? I didn't start watching. I just watched like this one season. There was this one girl, and her name was Courtney. And before she went on this ranch, man, she weighed like 500 pounds or something like that. She was about my height, okay? 500 pounds. She lost 100 pounds before she came to the ranch. And then she gets onto the show. And I want to tell you something. When that girl would get up there and stand, I mean, I don't get this either, okay, standing up on a scale and everybody seeing the results of, you know, how much you weigh and all this stuff. And, you know, they're kind of, you know, everything's there, you know. But this girl, when the number would pop up and it would be a negative, just beamed, radiated joy. Man, we're beloved. And should we not radiate joy? We are the bride of Christ. We are God's kids. Man, He's given this incredible future. So maybe today that's the only thing you needed to hear. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And He says this, I speak to you as wise men. Judge for yourself what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not communion? And in the Greek, it's koinonia. It's unity, it's oneness, it's fellowship with the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not communion with the body of Christ? For we, though are many, are one bread, one body, for we are partaker of that. But He's talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about this incredible fellowship we have with Christ. And then He says this, observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those that eat at the sacrifices partaker of the altar? He's talking about the Lord wanting the tabernacle with the people of Israel. The incredible relationship we had. And then He says, what am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols anything. Remember, He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Lord's not in competition with those puny idols. There's not competition. That's not what... He's not contradicting Himself. What He's getting at to now is, you know what? The meeting place is the issue. Because if you have been invited to the Lord's table through the sacrifice of Christ, and this is your dad's table, and He's asking you to put your feet under His table, why on earth would you want to hang out at a place called Shambles and sit down there knowingly the activity that takes place there? That's the heart, and that's what He's getting at. He says, flee from that. Run. Don't think about it. And that sums it up. When was the last time that we were just truly blown away with the magnitude of who our Father is? I mean, really, He's just opened our eyes and unstopped our ears and moved upon our heart that we looked at the privilege that we have to be a son of the living God or a daughter of the living God. Man, when you look and you see what the Lord penned through this man, you can't help but read and be blown away about the relationship he had with Christ. He was passionate about it. He was fully engaged in this thing. He was 100%er in this thing. If anybody ever made the most with what the Lord had given him, I'd have to say it was Paul. So when he looked at things that were going on down there at the Shambles, and he's like, oh, what are you doing? Why do you want to hang out there? I can remember when I was excited about moving out of my mom and dad's house until I had to pay bills. You know? That's the truth. Now let's look and let's dive into the rest of this. Remember, we're talking about laying down our life for Christ. Being all in this thing. having an eternal perspective over this thing, okay? Let's look at verse 23 and 24. All for the glory of God. And that's taken from Psalm 24. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one seek the other's well-being. See, the Christian life's not just about avoiding things. I think that we make the Christian life sometimes about what? Just avoiding stuff. It's more than that. It's also about pursuing what is good. We don't just avoid what is harmful. We pursue what is good. And you know what I find out? When I'm pursuing what is good, guess what naturally happens? I'm avoiding what is bad. We ask ourselves, this is what we do sometimes. When we're focusing on our rights or what knowledge we may have, remember, an idol's nothing. It's not bothering me. We're usually only asking one question. What is the harm to me? That's what we're asking. How does this harm me? And we forget to ask this. Is it really good for me? Is it helpful? Does it edify? At the end of the day, is it beneficial? The Corinthians' Christian heart was more focused on what they could get away with instead of how deep they could dive into the Lord's heart. That was their focus. We don't just avoid things that are harmful. We pursue what is good. The psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." Man, we go for it. Man, when you got saved, what blew you away the most? Lord. What prompted you to open your Bible? The Lord. And then somewhat, you know what happens? I think there's this natural progression in our walk with the Lord. We're really passionate about it at first. We're enjoying the Word just because of who the Lord is, and we're wanting to get to know Him. But somewhere along the way, you know what? It just becomes this Bible study thing where we're getting facts and figures and things and getting things lined up so we can fit within Christian culture and have those nice little conversations maybe about theology. And somewhere along the way, our heart stays back here. Should never be that way. And we're not avoiding things, man. We should be pursuing what is good. Remember, guys, we're running a race. Who likes to work out in here? I know already who does. Okay? You know what? I got to be honest with you. Okay? Stephen, when he said he was going to do this thing or whatever, because he's had his own biggest loot. I mean, I'm not saying Stephen was this, you know, huge person. Okay? But the dude has dropped some serious weight. And what's the time? No. What time period? A month and a half, and you've lost roughly how many pounds? 47. Okay. When you decided to do this thing, okay, what were the things that you had to do to get to where you're at now? Did you slam your big double meat jalapeno cheeseburger? Large order of onion rings, Route 44 Dr. Pepper. Did you go down to the pizza? You don't like pizza. You don't like guacamole. You don't like nothing. Did you go to Carter's Barbecue, okay, and eat you a calf? And then slam it down with a big Texas sweet tea. Have you guys had Texas sweet tea yet? You will go into shock. It's so sweet. Have you ever tasted any hummingbird juice? That's Texas sweet tea. It's so sweet. You didn't do that, did you? What'd you do? You tightened your game up. You tightened your diet up. And then on top of that, what did you do? You exercised. You worked out. Because you thought about something here. You thought about, okay, what's going to benefit me? What's going to benefit me? What's going to help me? Guys, we're running a race. We forget that. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us." Put it away. "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand at the throne of God." As I'm watching this show, this Biggest Loser show, there's one thing that these folks keep saying over and over and over again as this weight comes off. Their life is coming back to them. Okay, if you can picture the Christian life, what it was like before you were not saved, picture yourself as someone like the Biggest Loser with all this huge weight. Picture that. And as you pursue Christ and as the Lord has been working things in and working things out, how much of that stuff has fallen off? How much of that stuff has fallen off? Paul says you got to lay that stuff aside. You got to go forward. Remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 27. His heart, the reason why he had no issue with, okay, I'm going to lay down my rights. I'm laying down my rights here for the furtherance of the gospel, for the furtherance of the extension of God's kingdom, is because I know the end game. That's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm focusing on. That's my heart. He says, do you not know that those who all run in a race, but one receives the prize, run in such a way that you can obtain it? Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they don't do it because they obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Folks, the folks that win the gold medal, their whole life becomes about winning that gold medal. Every area of their life is affected by that. The diet, the sleep, the exercise. When you guys swam, or should I say swim? Swam will probably work, won't it? Because you're not swimming now, so it would be past tense. You swam. Yeah, people make fun of me. I say soil, and then soil? Did you soil yourself? No, soil. S-O-I-L. But when you guys were swimmers, did you just get to eat what you wanted to eat, do what you wanted to do? Yeah, you did, didn't you? Did you win a gold medal? No! I really didn't plan on going there with that, but it worked, didn't it? You know the only thing I ever won? You guys probably didn't do field day when you were in school, did you? Did you guys do field day? You know, you get the little ribbon, you know, first place. Okay, and when I was coming to school, you lost. There was no, everybody gets a ribbon. Either you were in or you were out. That's the way it worked. But I think the only thing I may have ever won ribbon is the egg toss. Didn't get no gold medal for that mess. When someone wins the gold medal, they are 100% in this thing. They're diligent. They're in training. They ask themselves the question, is this beneficial? And they have to be. When Stephen decided to go on this journey that he's been on for a month and a half, he had to refocus his whole life. He had to refocus his whole life. And anyone who is desiring to get in shape to some extent, when you're our age, okay, your age right now, okay, you're okay. But when you're our age, things are radically different. Your body does not respond to like when it's your age. It's just radically different. And I pray that illustration would just come across in such a way that we would ask ourselves, we would look towards the end of this thing and understand one day we're going to stand before Christ. We're going to understand that we're just given a brief moment here, and the Lord is desperately and desiring to glorify Himself and magnify Himself in His child. And sometimes that requires, you know what, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to lay down my right. Because I'm going to do what is right, the furtherance of God's kingdom. Okay? I pray that would take root in all of our hearts. In all of our hearts. Look at verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. By making it, how can this harm me? We forget that our choices may harm others on the team. If it's a... Okay. Another example. There were other people on your team, right, for this whole thing you were doing. There were, what was it, made of four, is that right? Five. Out of those five, who were all in and who were not? Three. Those two people that were not all in, how did it affect your team in the standings when it's all over with? You were one the whole time. But there was two folks that said, okay, we'll do this, but, and I'm making these people sound like they're just horrible people. I'm not. I'm just using an example, okay? But there were two on your team that decided, you know what? We're not going to readjust everything. we're not going to lay things down for a minute. And it did affect the whole team. All right? Their choices did affect you. Now, the bottom line is, at the end of the thing, you're way healthier than you were anyway. But it did affect some of the goals that you guys set as a team. Look at it this way. We're training because we're all running this great race. We're all on the same team. And diet matters what we eat. We're training for this race. Let's say Robert says, we just got through working out, and we're going to go get some lunch. And I'm saying, let's go to Jason's Deli, and I just want to get a salad. And Robert says, no, let's go to the Pit Grill. And I want a big fat chicken fried steak. And I want lots of gravy. And I want some Texas toast. And I want a salad on the side with plenty of ranch dressing. Okay? And I want all the refills I get. You can get a salad and you can come with me. What do you think I'm going to choose when I get there? I'm going to slam me a chicken fried steak. Now the difference is, it's not going to affect Robert like it's going to affect me necessarily, because Robert's what, 20 years old? And we're going to go back and we're going to run some 400s? You'll probably do okay, but me at 43 years old, I'm going to be hurling. It's not going to work for me. It's going to affect me. In Romans 13, verse 8 through 10, listen to this. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, they're all summed up namely in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And I got to think of my teammate and the choices I'm making. I got to think of them. Let no one seek his own. Okay, let's just don't make it about our own little thing. But let each of us, each one of us, the other's well-being. I think that is probably one of the most beautiful pictures of the body of Christ that I could find in Scripture. And that's what happens when we come here. We weep with those who are weeping. We rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We're all on the same team. We're in the family of God. We ought to be brokenhearted when we hear about some brother thrown in prison overseas. Because that's part of our family. I think sometimes within the culture, maybe here in the South, at least what I've seen in the 15 years or 18 years I've been a Christian, is sometimes the view is we're just isolated little islands and we're just doing our own little thing for the Lord, and we forget that those around us, the Lord has called us to minister to them. It's not just about us growing in the Lord. We should be growing in grace and in love and in serving each other and encouraging each other. Paul says, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're not focused on the right thing. So here's some practical guidelines for training for the race in 25 through 30. There he goes back again to the meat. Eats whatever sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat what is ever set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, which I am evil spoken for the food over which I give thanks. We need to train biblically smart, not legalistically smart. Biblically smart is getting the Lord's heart on the matter. And that's all that matters in the end. See, the number one thing is, let's don't be fussy about it. You don't have to do a full investigation into the meat. And here's why. I think about this just for a moment. Would you want anybody to come over to your house and start digging through your drawers and investigating the situation? No, that's rude. And that's not right. Paul is using this example and this illustration just like this right here. Keep it simple. Let's say you're invited over to an unsaved friend's house for dinner. Don't ask if the meat's been offered to idols. But if he tells you the meat's been offered to an idol, don't eat it. Or let's say that you're there with a Christian friend and he informs you that it's offered to idols. Then evidently it's bothering him. He says, don't eat it. But what if everybody in the room and in the mix has no situation with it? Then you know what? Just go ahead and eat it and everything's okay. Remember, the meat was not the issue. The meeting place was the issue. And Paul's not contradicting himself. He's just saying, hey, stop and think about what's going on around you. Now, think about this. An unsaved friend. Who has unsaved friends? Please tell me you do. Please tell me you do. They invite you over to your house. They invite you over to their house. You sit down and eat with them. Now, who wants to witness to an unsaved friend? Everybody in this room wants to witness to an unsaved friend because we want our friends to get saved, do we not? You're sitting there, you're having a meal with him, you're investing. You're not only enjoying the relationship with the person, but the end of the thing is, man, I'm praying at some point in time the Lord's put me in a position to share the good news of Christ, and maybe this person's eyes will be open, their ears will be unstopped, and they'll become part of the body of Christ. Now, how rude would it be? And how would it jack with that relationship if your good friend brought you over and went to all this trouble to prepare this meal and to do this and do that? He sets it down before you and said, hey, was this offered to idols? I can't eat it if it does. I'm drawing the line. How would that go over? How would that affect you if someone did that to you? Do you think at that point in time, well, you know, there may be a time and a place for that, I guess, as the Lord leads. I don't know. I'm kind of highly doubtful that that's what I would do. Or do you just go ahead and eat and you don't say anything because you know what? You're thinking, oh, Lord, I want an opportunity here. But here's the thing. Let's say your unsafe friend invites you over. Goes to all this trouble. You sit down, you eat, and he goes, oh, by the way, because see, you are friends on some level. He says, by the way, I don't know if this is going to bother you, but this meat was offered to idols. And you say, you know what? Man, I'm a Christian, and I don't feel comfortable with this. Not every Christian's going to have an issue with it, but maybe you do. And you know what? That's okay. Besides that, I needed to fast anyway. I'm going to have some water. That also opens the opportunity up to witness as well. See, sometimes we get concerned more about winning the case than winning the person and seeing that person get saved. And so you go over there with a friend and you've got this friend. We've all had these friends. Hey, this is off. You want to cause a big scene and have the tension and all this other stuff? Paul's just saying, if you think about it, use some common sense on this thing. Use some common sense on this thing. See, guys, Paul is living according to this one principle here. Liberty within the limits of love. He's not extreme. He's not contradicting himself. He's just living his liberty within the limits of love. And let's just listen to this one time. We're all familiar with this scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love suffers long. It's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Think about it. Love. Warren Wiersbe said this, the Christian who goes around asking questions about food will be a poor testimony to the lost and no help to the saved. Buy your meat in the meat market without asking questions. What good is it going to do to be poking around meat in the end? What good is that? It's not going to do anybody any good. What did Paul do with his time? We'll see that next week. It's in the first verse. He said this, imitate me. Just as I also imitate Christ. That's a bold statement. I wouldn't make that statement. I would like to be able to make that statement. I won't make that statement. I will not say, honestly, my walk's not there where Paul's walk is. What did Christ do? Remember when Matthew got saved? Matthew said, hey, come over to my house. Hang out. Who did Matthew invite? Sinners. What was Jesus accused of? Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Remember, eating in that culture was a very intimate thing to do. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. See, we can live with our convictions and not compromise with them if we do it in a manner that's loving. We can do that. I don't want to affect anybody's conscience in this room, and please don't affect mine either. Paul's living by a very incredible principle we are to grab a hold of. Liberty within the limits of love. I like balanced. I really do like balanced folks. I like balanced folks. I worked for a boss one time, not balanced, okay? He was always hyper. Drove me nuts. I'd ask him a question, he'd just mess with me. And this dude, if you want to picture what he looked like Jethro Bodine off the Beverly Hillbillies. He was that big. He looked exactly like him. He was solid as a rock. His name was Dale Holman. He would come up and hit me in the arm. Okay, look at me. Okay, look at me. I'm not standing there. Look at me. Okay? And he would nearly knock me down. And he would make me so mad. And he didn't care. He was just one of those big, gentle giants that, you know what? You couldn't get mad at. He wouldn't hurt a flea. But he was so hyper. He wasn't balanced. He drove me nuts. Sometimes within our walk, we don't stay balanced. We go to one extreme to the other instead of just keeping it very simple. Pursuing what is good. And we'll avoid what is bad. Verse 31 through 33, the last therefore wraps up the meat question, and it keeps it very simple. Therefore, if you eat or if you drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but for the profit of many, they may be saved. Keep it simple. Just do it all for the glory of God. That's it. Guys, the lives we've been given are not about what we can get away with. It's about God's glory. The purpose of the race we've been given to run is for God's glory. The Lord gets the glory when the church is being the church, when believers live to build up the church and win the lost. That was Paul's heart. That was his philosophy. That's how simple it was. You know why God used him so mightily? Because that was his heart. The dude, oh man. Every one of us has been given opportunity in the realm of influence where the Lord has placed us. It's not by accident. It's not by accident. We're called to be missionaries, to be on mission. And that's nothing new. You guys have all heard that before. Maybe the Lord's just asking us within the confines of our own family right now. Are you living by the principle liberty within the limits of love? Maybe the Lord's saying, okay, well, what about your job? Limits within the liberty of love. Who wants to go deeper in the Lord's heart? Everybody does. You know what gets in the way? I get in the way. So what can we take to heart? What can we take to heart this morning? From 1 Corinthians chapter 8 all the way through 10, Paul used the big question about the meat to address the bigger issue about laying down our lives. Just what we went over. It's all for God's glory. Who's seen Chariots of Fire? You guys probably never have. You never heard of it, have you? you ought to check it out. Eric Little is from Scotland. It's the 1924 Summer Olympics. Eric Little's best race is the 100 meters. But here's the thing. It's scheduled on a Sunday. Now, Eric Little knew this about 6 months in advance. And he made the decision, 6 months, I'm not going to race on Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. He was a favorite to win this race. Okay? He doesn't race on that. He didn't bow to peer pressure. He stuck to his guns. So he ends up having to run the 400, which I think was on a Wednesday. I'm not sure. And as he's going, this is not his best race. I mean, he is a sprinter. He's been training for the 400. It doesn't let you know that in the movie. It's not like a surprise thing. He's been training for it, but this is not his best race. So he goes up to get ready to run this race, right? He has a note in his hand. In the movie, the note is from one of the other runners, but in reality, it was from a masseuse who was massaging him. Okay, he gets to the racetrack, he opens it up, and this is what was said in the note, or the reference was 1 Samuel 2:30. For those who honor me, I will honor. You know the end of the story. The dude wins the gold. That's what happens. He wins the gold medal. And you know who received the award for him winning the gold medal? Or who received the honor from him winning the gold medal? The Lord got all the glory, because why? I'm not going to run on Sunday. He's not running on Sunday. That's his best race. He runs on Wednesday. He would eventually end his life in a prison camp in China. He would die of a brain tumor. You know the Chinese, he was born in China actually. His parents were missionaries. You know the Chinese consider him a son of China? They consider him their first gold medal winner because he was born there. See, we read this stuff in Wikipedia. Like, wow, man, that's an incredible story. Or we read some Christian, wow, that's incredible. Do you not understand the Lord is writing a unique story with you if you would just engage in it? Unique. My story's not your story. My story's not your story. But at the end result, as Christians, as being part of the body of Christ, being the God's kid, he's saying, I want to glorify myself in you in a unique way, so let me write your story. And what do we get hung up on? Asking dumb questions about meat. When there's bigger things at hand.